Show Friday in Gloucester at the Beauport Hotel. And, of course, yes, make some noise. Have some fun.
Biggie.
It was a last minute flex roadshow flex Friday for Wiggy. We addressed that earlier, and we'll keep addressing that. So he is not with us, but St. Peter's Fiesta is underway here, and a couple guys have stopped by to talk about it. We're still awaiting last year's defending champion on the greasy pole, Max Allen, but Tim Oakes is here. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah, just put that mic like right up. Right.
Oh, sorry. Thanks for having us.
And you've been on the greasy pole.
I am not Max Allen. I am not a greasy pole champion. But However, in my lifetime, when I was over 50, I took 2.5 steps on the pole.
Is that pretty good?
Two and a half? No, it's not.
That's not good.
What's not?
Did you injure yourself at all?
I did not. It was low tide, which you see out there now. It's low tide. It's probably a two-story fall from the pole.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I did hit the ocean floor when I hit the bottom because I'm not the skinniest guy.
Yeah. And what would be the worst injury that you yourself have seen being a lifelong Gloucester?
Take your pick. People split the pole. You know what I mean? They split the pole.
That hurts.
Yeah. A lot of people break ribs.
Yeah.
A lot of people get hit in the head.
Uh-huh.
And for a few years, people were actually getting jumped on. After the champion wins, everyone tries to get their last walk in front of the people on the beach and the boats.
Yeah.
And they were landing on people, breaking collarbones.
And stuff. They're landing on people. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So I probably shouldn't say that. It's liability perspective. No,
we're going to get to him in a minute.
It might have.
We're going to get to this guy in a minute over here. But also, there's a big Seine boat race.
Seine boat, yes.
Seine? How do I say
that? Correct. Seine. Fishing Seine. Like the Seine River in France.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And those go on all weekend?
They go on all weekend. And they're a men's Seine boat race, a women's Seine boat race, a junior girls, and a junior boys.
I see. And is it like similar to crew? Like, is it like...
So it's funny. The concept's the same.
Yeah.
But you look at a crew boat like the Charles Regatta. That boat is built for speed. It's a low hull. It's all fiberglassed and smooth. You have 10 rowers and you take a pull. These are fishing boats that were out in the deep ocean. These are 3,000-pound boats. They have high rails. They have 10 rowers, a scuttler, and a cox. Each guy has a 40-pound
oar. I know a guy on the U.S. track and field team that we were talking about yesterday who could be the who could do that job.
Who could do what job?
I can't say it on the radio.
Important last name.
He uses an interesting thing for his paddle. But yes, okay. So how fast? Like literally, how many like knots do they get?
I'd say you probably average in these boats. Remember, they're not built for speed per se, right? They were meant to be, you know, a working boat.
Right.
You can probably get it between 6 and 8 miles an hour. Mm. It's about a 10-minute race right now from the beach out to the turn and flags, which are all out there. They're half a mile off the beach. You go out off the beach, you turn the flag, you come home. It's about 9:30 to 10 minutes for all crews.
And how long has the Fiesta been going on?
This is its 92nd year. 90, it's up there.
90, your age.
98.
When it comes to people participating, are they all from Gloucester, or do you have people coming from all over to come participate?
It's primarily local, but it's local connections.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily that everyone here is rooted here. You have friends and people you know, whatever, that get brought in. So I can't speak for the poll. The poll is primarily local. I mean, that's tough to get on.
Yeah, we learned.
We're aware.
All right, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. All right, let's get to Captain Hardo. So Tom Favazza is here.
Thank you for having me.
We're delighted that you're here this morning. Now you're a past champion. I think Mitch, for those that are watching on Twitch or on, did you not send them those?
It has not come through to me.
But you're a past. When did you win?
1985.
1985. You won the pole.
I won the pole.
You have now. You're kind of in charge of the whole thing.
Now we organize it. The committee organizes the whole pole. I'm in charge of making sure that everyone's safe and it's organized well.
And you called the show the other day.
Sure.
And you wanted to because we were hoping to get Scheim out there, but you wanted to make it clear to us that there was no way that was happening.
That's probably not going to happen
ever in Scheim's lifetime. Probably not at this point. Yeah.
And it's through the fact that I'm sure he's got some. Potential of a two-stepper, but besides that, we want people to go out there from the local guys.
Right.
Some of these kids
from the neighborhood, really.
They've been trying to get on the pole for 5, 6, 7 years, and some of them don't make it. So you have so many people trying to get on a daily basis.
Uh-huh.
I think, guys, you know what? Can we put 44, 45
Yeah,
and that's it.
What if it was just like 5 minutes right now? Like what? Like maybe we just run him out there.
That's not going to happen.
Now I have a question.
But like I always like I just I'm such why? Pole's already set for tonight.
Because it took me 2 hours greased. To grease the pole yesterday.
But so
he's going to ungrease it.
It doesn't matter.
Well, that's the whole matter. That's the whole point.
If someone walks it prior and there's a few steps on there, that's a malocchio. So you don't want that to happen.
Can I ask
a
question?
We can call people palookas to use old Italian. One second. So let's say that when the people start doing this later, whenever that is, tomorrow, after each walk, do you redo it?
No.
So then what's the difference?
Because he's not part of it, period.
No, but that's... Wait. Just let's do logic. So
there is no logic.
What? I have a good point. I have a good point to make.
Okay,
when it
ahead,
says
we're in charge you're not.
I have a good... But what was...
There is a little logic, right? So the courtesy round, right? The courtesy round is everyone gets to walk. No one can win the flag the first round.
Yeah.
Because everyone gets the right who got on the pole to walk in front of their friends, family, community, and kind of – it's their moment, right? Yeah. It's their fiesta. They get to do it. But the other part of it, ironically, is somewhat strategic. And I'm saying this somewhat using the word strategic loosely. As they go, they remove grease. So to your point, what's the point? Well, that's what the walkers do because they start to remove the grease as they go. So it sounds –
It sounds dumb. Who've done it before and say, "Hold, just for the courtesy round, we're going to have Shine be a part of it. You still get your walk."
I just have a question. What was Bert's connection to Gloucester? Is he from here? Connection?
Who's Bert?
Comedian Bert.
Bert Kirshner.
Yeah, so he ran about 10 years ago, and there was I did my research. I didn't see that he was from Gloucester. Nope. Family members, nothing.
Yeah,
he made a connection.
Now, if Shime's last name was Italian, would he have a better chance?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not, we have all sorts of people up there. It's just an Italian. You know, Gloucester's a big melting pot now.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, this whole section was all Italians.
Yeah.
This was the Italian section of town, period. It's all changed. So you roll with the, you know, you evolve or you become extinct, and now everyone is part of it, you know, and we get all sorts of people up there. It doesn't matter. It's about having fun, all right, and keeping this tradition going. It's been going on for 90, the Greasy Pole since 1931, the whole fiesta since 1927.
Yeah.
All right. So this is embedded in the souls of a lot of people in this town. So we have to make sure that tradition stays true.
Right.
All right.
It's kind of outrageous that we even asked.
Yeah.
It's not outrageous because my phone starts ringing in February.
Yeah.
All right. And it's still ringing right now for people trying to get on. And I'd say, guys, the party's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it was 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. This has evolved into a major event.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it has to be organized. It has to be, well, you just have people just running the pole during the event because we enlist and we have to ID people.
What if the governor wanted to get on the pole?
The governor?
Yeah.
No,
probably not.
She'd have to go through the same process.
Probably not going to happen. Yeah, probably not.
What if Tom Brady arrived an hour from now? Would you say, "Up"?
Oh,
we have to keep it slick.
Yeah, what if Tom Brady wanted to get on the pool?
That would be interesting as hell, wouldn't it? He'd be breaking his contract, but that would be interesting.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I don't think we really. Bert's probably the celebrity that's most popular that I know that walked the pole. We had a guy from Japan come about 10, 12 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so. Shime's a celebrity.
And
you like Japanese food.
Shime's a... How many women have walked the pole?
We have a young lady walking Sunday.
No, but I mean the previous...
Probably 10.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Over the years? Yeah. 10, 12.
And there's a woman who's competing this weekend.
Yeah, she is on Sunday.
Okay.
Something I think about a lot when it comes to the Greasy Pole, do people get splinters?
No, it's very smooth.
Okay. That's something that's in my mind always.
Yeah, we do a little bit of maintenance on it.
Okay.
And I'll make sure it's okay.
And is it better to fall forward or backwards?
It depends how high it is the tide.
Okay.
If you fall, you hit the pole, it hurts. If it's a 25-foot drop or a 20-foot drop, the water's going to hurt worse than the pole.
Ooh.
Because you have no control over it. All right? So you hit and then you free fall into the water and it hit your ribs, hit your face. You guys get the eardrums popped and sometimes they break their ribs and sometimes they crack their chins open. Oh. I've been out there since the 70s, so you've seen it all.
What would cause a worse injury, falling off the pole or us sneaking out there this morning?
I would say sneaking out there this morning.
Give them the matzah story. Why they call matzah the sheriff.
So we had a young guy who went out there and grabbed the flag on the courtesy round. Yeah. Everyone knows the rules. The rules are the rules. And this is back in the day. Sure, yeah. Don't grab the flag.
They have no basis round. In logic or fact. They're just there.
That's a rule. So he grabbed the flag and he swam in. They said, put it back. And he gave him the bird and swam to the beach. So they swam off the beach, grabbed the flag. Mata gave him a couple shots, knocked him out on the beach, and bought the flag, gave it to the Coast Guard, put it back up, and the contest continued.
Yeah.
Wow.
It sounds like a really fun family festival.
It is. Yeah. You know, it's a great time.
Yeah, sounds
good. That was in the 70s, a long time ago in the land.
You can walk into the Apple store on Boylston at free random grabbing iPads, but you can't get within 5 feet of a pole.
So, and these guys fall all these rules really well, and if you have sure socks on,
they know what happens if they don't.
Well, there's
I didn't know we were in North Korea.
There's consequences.
There's consequences. Yeah, you know consequences. What? For all the rules, everyone has fun. Listen, we've had no problems out there in years, and it's working very well. Yeah. The rules have followed for a certain reason. You know, Mata did that. No one does it anymore.
Yeah, right. Nobody ever did it.
Set the example. You know?
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming by, and we look forward to seeing what goes on this weekend. It seems like a lot of fun out here, and we got the boat races, and we got the greasy pole. And so good luck with everything this
weekend.
We'll
be putting the flag out about 1 o'clock today for this event, and then tomorrow morning we'll be greasing the pole, tomorrow afternoon about 1 o'clock, and then Sunday at 2 o'clock we'll be greasing again for the third contest. So
I think you guys get a better deal for the grease. I heard it was $30,000 to grease it?
No.
That's just an excuse they use.
This is one of those rumors that you've been devouring, you know.
No, it was Ken told me after he talked to you.
Because you talked to everybody else but me.
Did they say that to you?
didn't know how to reach you.
You said you have fish guts. And,
No fish guts on the pole.
No fish guts.
No turkey guts.
No.
No fish guts.
No fish guts. No. Just the guts of that one guy who tried to grab the flag.
Right. Things happen. Things happen. Everyone come down. Everyone enjoy the event. The St. Peter's Fiesta Committee worked very hard to make sure this is one of the gems of the city.
Okay.
And, beautiful hotel. Great event.
Yeah.
Come on down, enjoy it.
Okay. You know
what? This is what we got.
Well, Tim Oakes and they tell me that you're known, maybe not to your face, as the chief pole watcher here in Boston. So if you could give Tom a round of applause as well. We are. Tom, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming, everybody.
All right.
Enjoy the show.
Thanks a lot. Are we allowed back next year or is this a
work? Yeah. You did nothing wrong yet.
Okay.
I'm all terrified.
Right. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Red Sox are back in action tonight. They're home to take on the Blue Jays. First pitch at 7:10 with Brian Baio getting the start. Lenny DiNardo and Mike Monaco have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show.
What are you laughing about?
I'm not even going to look at the poll moving forward.
No. That's what your dad
hopes. My eyes are staying forward at Doug.
Yeah, okay.
The second round of the NBA draft took place, and the Celtics traded back their 32nd pick after reportedly missing out on Rashear Fleming, who went 31 to the Phoenix Suns. The Celtics drafted Kentucky center Amari Williams at number 46 and VCU guard Max Shulga at number 57. In the NFL, former Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been suspended for the first 10 weeks of the 2025 regular season after the NFL found that he violated its personal conduct policy. Tucker can serve the suspension as a free agent and is free to sign with an NFL team. If he were to sign with a team, he could attend training camp and play in preseason games before the suspension starts on August 26th. And lobster rolls are back at the Nines. Visit your local 99 today and try their famous colossal lobster rolls, 100% North Atlantic lobster piled high on grilled brioche, served hot butter, or with just the right amount of mayo and celery with fries and coleslaw. You gotta love the Nines.
All right, we are in Gloucester on Cape Ann, and it is a Roadshow Friday and a lot to come on the show this morning. We will get to They Said It coming up next, and then if there are guest leads, we'll get to guest leads. We have a special Gloucester edition of Truth or Fraudulent, which we can play without Wiggy because Wiggy chose to flex this Friday last minute.
How many times, what is it, 7, 17? How many times would Wiggy have said international waters by now?
100, probably 100. So that is all coming up, and you can leave a Hill Note now on any topic, whether it is the absence of Coach Wiggins or our discussion with Tom about the greasy pole or whatever else you feel like is worthy of a voicemail. And real quick, I don't know if I want to. I'll take that call. I'm going to wait until people leave. We will be right back. We are back at America's oldest seaport, Gloucester, and it is Roadshow number 7. And I need to spend more time up here. It is beautiful, and you just don't – I don't think about it. So
clearly, you do need to spend more time up here because you can do everything. Greg, if you call Greg on a Friday and you're like, oh, there's a concert I want to go to tomorrow, you will have like a box seat. You'll have the best seat in the house. You could get people – I mean – not for nothing, Karen Reed's free, and you had probably something to do with that.
Yes.
So, but you can't get Chime on the greasy pole.
I know. We have failed. We have tried very hard.
Sorry, Greg. I appreciate your effort.
We have tried.
They've tried to be flexible.
Yes, we can't. We have. This is Chuck from New Hampshire. Chuck, good morning. What's up,
hey,
Chuck?
Guys, my wife and I were at a road show a few weeks ago. Love seeing you guys. But I got to defend Chime on this one, man. That Tom guy, he talks to you guys like you're captives in his basement, you know, like, hey, we'd like to get on the pole, or hey, I want to leave your basement. And he goes, no, it's just not going to work that way. If you do that, it's not going to end well. This guy's a damn weirdo, and if I'm ever in Gloucester, I will grease up that pole by pulling my pants down, taking a dump on it.
So that's not nice.
I don't care what happens.
That's not nice.
Only Italians would be gatekeeping a wooden pole. What a bunch of idiots.
Listen,
jeez,
I'll
Louise,
tell you,
Chime, Tom, you're awesome.
Tom is very serious about it, and he takes his responsibilities very seriously.
Yeah, no taking dumps on the pole.
I certainly appreciate that he spent some time with us this morning.
I always just like understanding the why.
But we have a lot to get to, and that includes guest leads coming up in just a little bit. We have some limited edition Roadshow trucker hats, which we will give to you if you got a good guest lead coming up. On Thursday, final roadshow of the roadshow season, we are going to be on Lake Winnipesaukee at the Dive. And so we're up there the night before, Wednesday night, short week because of the 4th of July. So we will see all of you next week, Wednesday night, for pregame at the Nazwa, which is right there on Lake Winnipesaukee. Great resort on the water.
And Griff is using the new, what is it, Starlink?
Yeah, Starlink. Yeah,
today to make sure that it's ready to go for the Dive.
There's a lot of where we're out on the water. So we got to make sure everything is working A-okay.
Did you see, in honor of the latest Netflix documentary, that Ken is handing out red bags?
No, I didn't see that. That is an issue. No, I think they have bathrooms on the Dive.
Oh, okay.
I'd
hope so.
They have a kitchen.
Can we just call it a no poop zone?
Yes,
I mean,
yes, we can. Yes,
try and enjoy the show.
100%.
You don't want an aqua dump?
No,
I do not. We don't want. Well, Courtney said
no. I do not.
This is Frank from New Hampshire. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Great show as always.
Thank you.
I've got deep roots on Cape Ann in Gloucester, Rockport. Worked there for a long time. I live in New Hampshire now, but that was to get out of Massachusetts. Your previous caller that was disrespecting tradition and, you know, proper etiquette is an idiot.
Mm, yeah.
The fiesta and the running the pole, I am close to someone that won it.
Yeah.
That person, what has no tradition and respect for formality? Give me a break.
Yeah,
keep the fiesta the way it is. Greg, I'm sorry. You know, I don't think you're entitled to run the pole or shine. Let them do it. Enjoy it while you watch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Have a good day.
Okay. All right.
Avert your eyes.
There you go. Maybe we'll get Chime on the wait list and you know, 5 years, 6 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get out there.
You know what, Greg? If they can have Disney on Ice at the Garden, mm-hmm. if they can have pickleball at Fenway Park, mm-hmm. I think Chime could go on a wooden pole. Mm. I don't know. Just call me crazy.
Maybe we make our own and then gatekeep it.
I don't think.
You know how you build something and make it grow? Tell everybody they can't do it.
All right. Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They said it is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they are honoring those who built this incredible city. So whether they drive or whether they build or whether they care for others in the city, please nominate somebody who has helped to build this city when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. Chime, you or Jackson handling They Said
It? That would be me today, Greg.
Okay, where should we begin?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Julian Bubs Edelman. He stopped by Patriots training camp recently, and here he is talking about what impressed him the most about Drake May.
What jumped out to me? Drake May, the question he asked me, the hunger that he had. You know, I went in and talked to the team, and afterwards Drake came by, and they're running the same offense that we were in. He kind of asked me, hey, what do you see on this? And it was a smart question. That stood out to me, that he didn't have an intimidation factor of being embarrassed to go out and ask a guy a question that's been in the system that he's going to try to go be in, and that, you know, ask that kind of question. I thought that was big. His leadership, the leadership of the coaches, there was a good tempo, not a lot of standing around. So I'm excited to see what they do this year.
Hmm. Okay. That's a positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he get the nod from one of the all-time great New England Patriots wide receivers. So,
and he had a really good before that, they did sort of predictions for the year, and Edelman was talking about Aaron Rodgers in contrast to Brady, about how when Tom was in his final year, he didn't tell everybody, and that this basically dumping all over Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh, saying, like, it's all about him, the teammates aren't going to buy in. He's like, it's really hard to get into a new offense with a bunch of new people, and the fact that he wasn't there for, you know, the what was it, involuntary workouts was really a bad sign for this.
Where are you? Remind me. It probably changes, but where are you on expectation win wise?
Patriots?
10.
Yeah. 10-7.
I hope you're right, but that's such a. I mean, that's an additional 6 wins.
Yeah, I did say the Red Sox were going to the World Series, so 0-1.
Curtis, you're nothing but optimistic.
I know.
It's people say I'm negative. Yeah. Just that's tough.
Where are you, Shine?
I'm at 8.
Okay.
So I think realistically you should double your win total from the last couple of years. Like, that's where you are. You are better in that regard because of coaching. You should win more close games. But talent-wise, this team still has ways to go.
Vrabel versus Rob Mayo. Does Vrabel get you 1?
I think 2.
He gets you 2.
2 more than Mayo, minimum. Yeah.
You definitely beat the Colts and you beat the Titans if you have a coach with a beating pulse.
I agree.
Miami, do you beat them twice?
No.
Maybe.
This year you might.
I think Miami, won. I think the nerdy pothead is going to be fired this
McDaniel.
Year. Yeah.
The nerdy?
Mid-season?
I mean, he's vaping on the sidelines.
End of
you
season.
Pothead fucker?
No, he definitely smokes a lot of weed.
Oh, he is higher than Jackson.
Yeah. Or Wiggy.
Might be higher than Wiggy. Yeah.
might be higher than Wiggy.
Higher than the pole.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, next, Greg, let's go to basketball. The Celtics had the second night of the NBA draft last night. Mike Zarin, the VP of basketball operations over there for the Boston Celtics, spoke to the media and kind of wanted to throw some cold water on those Jaylen Brown, Derek White rumors, which I know Courtney will be happy to hear. Here was Mike Zarin.
You know, over the last few days, there was a lot of discussion and reporting around teams being really interested in acquiring one of either Derek White and Jaylen Brown. Curious from your standpoint, as you think about being opportunistic and thinking about the future, where do those two guys kind of fall into the vision of this team?
Those two guys are really, really great NBA players. And there hasn't been anything close to serious about trading them. And so I don't I'm not sure where all this reporting came from, but those are guys are key parts of our team, and we're lucky to have them here.
They always say that when they're done listening to offers for Jalen Brown.
Right.
Yeah, have you noticed that?
It's never that's before
what,
the draft.
That's what they always say. But, I mean, those two are – it sounds like they're here, and they're – I mean, both of them are great. They seem to play well together, yep. And so – Yeah, you've added what you've added, and I think you guys have talked about it a lot. I don't think they're a Eastern Conference winning team,
no.
minus Jason Tatum.
But, I think they could surprise you.
You do?
Yeah, even without Jason Tatum, I think this team could surprise you next year. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. This is me being optimistic because I love Jalen Brown, and I'm happy to see him still here. But I think he, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard has had an unbelievable come up. You re-sign Al, you get Luke Kornet. I don't know. I think that we could.
Yeah, I think Peyton Pritchard's great in the role he has.
Feel
like when you have.
But that's probably why Simons will start, right?
He'll stay in that role.
I guess. But he'll. I mean, I think to me, this is a perfect year for Brad Stevens because Jalen Brown gets to be the guy. And if he has a phenomenal season, then either you use that as a way to parlay him for a bigger return, or if he's not as good, then he kind of has to go back and not really be as complaining about his current role. Like, he gets to have what he's wanted, and then we'll see what he does with
it. I just look at what the Pacers did this year, and I just think that, like, once you get to the Eastern Conference playoffs, like, anything is possible. Because if Derek White gets hot or Jalen Brown gets hot in those playoff series, you could just win a round or two just because of that.
Yeah.
So playoff time, what seed do you expect they are?
Five. Right around four.
Okay.
Could be as high as three, could be as low as five. Like, it should be right in that middle area is my thought.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Well, Greg, next, let's hear from Brian Windhorst. So there's been some drama around Ace Bailey, the draft pick of the Utah Jazz.
Uh-huh.
Some believe he may not show up to training camp and practice because he didn't want to get drafted by Utah. He wanted to get drafted by a team like Brooklyn. There were a couple other teams on his list, and he didn't want to go to Utah. But Windhorst is here to tell you.
They asked him, actually, are you going to play in Utah? And he said, probably not going to happen.
Oh, dear.
But go ahead.
Yes. Well,
had no reason why.
Well, just like Tom, Danny Ainge and Austin Ainge are not budging, according to Windhorst.
But one thing I will tell you with confidence, Danny Ainge and his son Austin are not going to bend here. They are not going to get pushed around. They do not care with what this situation might bring. So the idea that they are going to pressure the Jazz into something, I don't think will be successful for Ace Bailey and his operation. But let's see how the next 72 hours plays out.
I want to just follow this because, again, I watched him play a ton for Rutgers, and I like him. But this seems kind of ridiculous to me. Like, he's good, but he's not this good to be trying to dictate to people, don't take me. Like, what the hell is that?
It does seem like the wrong way to start a relationship with the team that drafted you.
Absolutely, there was also the guy who got drafted by Toronto, and when the camera's on him, and he says F. But you don't know if he's saying, because I saw some people say, well, I do that when I can't believe that something just happened for me. Yeah, it looks like he's saying.
That was tariffs related.
Yes,
He didn't want to be in Toronto.
No. Uh-huh.
But this is that entitlement of the younger players kind of coming back, and I don't know if that's great for sports in general. Like, luckily, I mean, in the NFL, it generally doesn't happen because you get that contract, like, right away, and it's basically almost fully guaranteed as a first-round rookie, but
I mean, if I was young and wanted to have fun, Salt Lake City isn't exactly a place I would look to go to.
No, absolutely not. But at the same time, like, you're supposed to be going to play basketball.
Do they even
right?
sell alcohol? Just Mormons don't drink it?
No, you can. They sell it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, like, ski resorts and stuff. They got to sell.
Yeah,
that
sounds awful.
They have to. Yeah, I think. But I don't think is it as much about the fun or he wanted to go to a more competitive team?
I don't know. Salt Lake City doesn't appear to be.
Yeah, but how much? I mean, you're traveling a lot of the season.
Brooklyn's not all that.
And it's a Delta hub, so.
And also, you say not in the NFL. Eli Manning did it.
Well, yeah, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
Caleb Williams
I'm curious if this is going to become a
pattern. And it was more so Caleb Williams' father than anything. But
And it's also not a good sign. If you're the number one pick, it's happened with Eli and other guys. But if you're not even the first pick in the draft to try and dictate where you're going.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. How does it work if you're heading into the NFL and you try to demand equity and ownership in the team that you're going to? Does that work?
It usually doesn't
that
apply.
Doesn't work either.
No. Right. I'm just saying, watch out for the Caleb Williams bounce back this year.
Yeah, this is
He's got Ben Johnson now. Anything is possible.
Okay. All right. Well, that is They Said It. Speaking of things that were said on this show and elsewhere, this is Nate in the truck, who wants to talk about Craig Breslow on this show yesterday. Nate, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I'm hoping you guys are having a blast out there, even though we don't have the greatest of weather. But, hey, Curtis, your lead, I thought where you were going with, and I'm surprised you didn't pick up with that, when they were talking about, Craig Breslow was talking about, you know, what they're looking to do at the trade deadline, he threw that little nugget in there about that they have a deep farm system. I don't think they're going to trade for anybody. I think they're just going to tap these young guys, bring them up, and then see what they got and keep that payroll low.
Yeah. So when he said improve the team
and
throws in the farm system, you think that's how they're
going to improve? I think most fans would read that they have plenty of guys they can trade to get talent for 2025. Yeah. That's why you
absolutely
would say they have a deep farm system.
Yeah.
But
and
I
then
said
Curtis,
that the reason
you're
that
absolutely
they, I'm
sorry. You're absolutely right too. About, I mean, they got Craig Breslow's got a job for life over there. Just the way he talks, and he just spews the Henry agenda that he really wants. And then the other thing too. I don't know if you also brought up. I don't know if it was this station. Is that you know, Henry is looking at the next collective bargaining agreement to go ahead and have a salary cap. So you know what direction he's heading into. So
yeah, Nate. Thank you. Yeah, no, I think Curtis was saying that the generally after Craig Breslow was on the show and I asked about are you guys buyers or sellers right now? He said we are absolutely going to improve the team, but he didn't answer buyers. So there's a little wiggle room over there for Craig Breslow. Yeah.
He certainly didn't improve the team by trading Devers.
No.
Yeah. But that's what the modeling said.
Oh, right.
There's no more buts.
What was the modeling of Wiggy waiting until yesterday to tell you about?
I don't know what the algorithm was on that. I do think we haven't talked about it enough. The Passan article is so interesting that the decision about Devers going to DH, which they brought up to him at the start of spring training, all came from a computer model. So there's no human element involved there. They threw everybody in. They got Bregman, and then they throw everybody into the computer modeling, and it spits out and says you ought to have Devers DH. And then they just go, all right, fine. Let's just, whatever the computer says, let's go and do
it. But even just like with using the computer modeling, they're leaving key elements out because there's no way any computer would indicate to you, yeah, we should start Christian Campbell on the big league roster and not Marcelo Meyer. Both of them have struggled hitting in the majors, but Marcelo Meyer is leagues ahead of him defensively.
But that's what the that's a problem with the nerds. Like, is no offense.
No. But like they're specifically withholding information to put into the computer. So they're not even getting the best possible result.
Well, no, the thing that supersedes the algorithm is the cost.
Yeah.
So the reason they did that with Marcelo Meyer is because he wouldn't play ball on a contract, so they gave the guy the opportunity, which makes this all nonsense because the reality is it's so rare for a player, albeit a bad one, like Craig Breslow, is this distanced from what it actually takes to be successful. Because I'm certain there have been many guys that Breslow played with that may have been more talented than him but didn't make it to the big leagues because they weren't able to perform in tough moments. And I would ask Breslow next week, like, do you not think David Ortiz is clutch? Do you not believe in clutch? Because
modeling will never show that.
Right.
Well,
like
Terry
Francona is going to be in town next week with the Reds. And I would love to ask him about synthesizing algorithm data in real time and compare it to the decisions he made. Millar gets the walk. You pinch run Roberts. He steals second when the whole place knows he's going. Like all the decisions they made in 04 and 07 that led to championships that were based nothing else on the expertise of Francona and his feel of a baseball game.
Well, Red Sox are back in town, and first pitch tonight on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network around 7 o'clock or so. We are in Gloucester, and we are at the Beauport Hotel. It is Roadshow number 7, brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller Time New England, by Harbor One Bank. They know your business like nobody's business, and by Absolute Ocean Spray Vodka Cranberry Sparkling Cocktails, because some collaborations are just destined to be born to mix. I want to thank everybody at Absolute. They donated $10 per can sold last night to the Porter family at My Place by the Sea. So, all right, we will be back. Are we going to yes. Do you guys have guest leads? Yes, there are guest leads. Okay. So we'll get to guest leads. We can get to truth or fraudulence as well in Wiggy's absence, all coming up on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI. Roadshow Friday in Gloucester, and the St. Peter's Fiesta happening here all weekend. Sincere thanks to Cafe Cecilia, who dropped off cannolis. I don't know if
you go.
Wiggy's on his way.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, Wiggy, a last minute flexed a Roadshow Friday. We'll discuss further.
Going soft, Greg.
The man who says I'm soft.
Let him take too many flex days.
Suddenly flexing at 10:15 on the day before a road show.
Yeah.
We only have 8 of them.
Nope.
We are delighted to be here this morning. And our final roadshow of Roadshow Season 4 is next Thursday up on Lake Winnipesaukee at the Dive. So we will see you there for that. Also, want to thank North Shore Tree Experts. John, who is the owner, dropped off a hat, which I am wearing right now, so a little and some cash for the family of Captain Porter. So want to thank them for that. A little dress Greg here, impromptu dress Greg. But we're going to get some guest leads this morning. Here at the Hotel Beauport, the luxurious Hotel Beauport in Gloucester. Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning. My name is Sal from Newton.
All right, Sal. How are you?
Outstanding.
You're a guest lead this morning?
Yes. Let's go back to 1988.
Okay.
When then Red Sox manager Don McNamara was fired due to the poor performance of the Red Sox, despite having future Hall of Famers Jim Rice, Dwight Evans, and Wade Boggs. A native of Walpole, Joe Morgan took over as manager of the Red Sox, changed the culture, ended up winning the American League East.
Morgan Magic.
The man was a snowplow driver at one point.
Yes.
Or a toll booth operator.
And an alumni of BC.
Forgot Roger Clemens on that team.
And Roger Clemens.
Yeah. Yes. Now we go to 2025. We have the one all-star, Alex Bregman, who's established. He's on the IL. Despite the contract... long-term contract, should there be a change of culture in removing Alex Cora? I know it's been on this station the last few press conferences. It seems like Cora has checked out. Should there be a culture change? And then two, at the trade deadline, will the Red Sox be buyers, sellers, or no action at all?
Okay.
Let the kids play.
Do you want Alex Cora to go? Like, is that what you're saying?
I mean... like Curtis has said in the past, I think he's still around because he got us a championship. But in any type of organization, whether it's corporate, military, sports, it starts with the culture.
Okay. All right. Pretty good. Great guest lead. Thank you very much.
I go back and forth on how I feel about Cora next season. I more don't want him to return because I don't think he wants to return. And I go back to how he talked at spring training, not even about how this season was. I just found his comments to be so odd with us, where he was saying, you know, as a manager, you don't want to be in a place for too long. It struck me.
You think he still wants to manage?
Yes.
Just maybe not here.
Correct.
Any longer.
And his daughter's graduated now, tied to Boston, you know.
Are you talking about Cora or Ken?
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Tony from Good Harbor Beach here in Gloucester.
Great beach.
It is great
beach. It's a beautiful beach.
You know, Ken, Greg, if you want ski ball, you go to Hampton. If you want a drink, you go to the beach. If you want to go to the beach, come to Good Harbor Beach.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Beautiful.
I've got a Yankee Red Sox lead.
Okay.
But first, I want to thank you guys for the Greg Hill Show and for coming here to Cape Ann. You know, I've been listening since the days of Mustard and Johnson, Dennis and Callahan, Kirk and Callahan. God bless you, Curtis. I don't know how you made it through some of those years. They seemed pretty difficult. They were difficult to listen to. I can only imagine what it was like to work in.
Tangeray was
but
a big help.
You guys have what you guys have now, this chemistry of this team, it's such a joy to listen to. All of you, including Flex Wiggins, we love hearing you guys.
Oh, well, thank you. It's so nice.
But my Yankee Red Sox lead. So I've been a Yankee fan my entire life. I'm also a Celtics, Bruins, and Patriots fan.
That's so weird.
But yeah, my dad was I inherited it from him.
There are a lot of Yankee fans in this area.
Yeah. You know, it's an Italian American thing. A lot of them, you know, right. Our dad started listening to, you know, following Joe DiMaggio, Yogi Berra, Phil Rizzuto.
Was your dad Hunter Dobbins' father also?
He was. He was cut by the Red Sox. I still remember that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to Yankee suck for, I don't know, 40 years, 50 years, when the chant started. And the Yankees did suck in 2004. We sucked in the World Series last year. We've sucked for the past month, but we're not going to suck forever. And the Red Sox, with the current ownership and the management they have, are going to suck for a while, guys.
So wow.
All right.
That was a mic drop kind of moment.
Sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I hope you're wrong.
It was a good lead.
But yeah,
it was
a good lead. Excellent lead. Morning.
Good morning. I'm Barry from Gloucester.
Hi, Barry.
Bad news for Shine.
Yeah.
No poll today.
Ah, bummer.
Chick-fil-A Peabody.
I did see a sign on my drive-in. That's giant billboard by the North Shore Mall.
That's in the North Shore Mall at the food court. So that's your best chance.
There also happens to be a Pokemon store there. I will be there.
Good mall walk.
Well, you got a great afternoon plan.
Are you kidding me? The best.
I did also make a point that based on the news this week about Chris Robinson and his malfunction.
Yeah, wardrobe malfunction.
Do we want to name the poll after him for the weekend?
I probably should.
That would be nice.
I think
it sounds like it might take an act of Congress to rename the poll, but we'll work
on
it.
I'll let you work that.
We'll work on it with Tom.
And I feel, I'll take a Celtic, you know, pick right now. It's the coaching. It's the mentality. It's the three-pointers, the millions of them. That's why they lost to the Knicks. They didn't change their game. They didn't adapt. Missoula needs to go.
Ooh.
Bottom line.
Ooh.
The longest tenured coach in the city.
Yeah.
Outside of Alex Cora.
Wiggy would not agree, but that's not going to change. That's a Joe Missoula philosophy. I mean, it's a league philosophy, but it's also an
algorithm philosophy.
Yeah, it's a Joe Missoula.
But 2 years ago, a lot of people wanted Joe Missoula's job to be over after they took too many threes. People felt and had an early exit from the playoffs. Then the next year, the same kind of mentality goes into it, and they win a championship. So it's going back and forth when it comes to how people feel about Missoula.
Yeah, I just think James could say shoot threes and get paid $5. Like what? In all sincerity, like that's their offense. Wiggy, who's not here, unfortunately, has said that Missoula's the best coach in basketball. I mean, Wiggy's won a Super Bowl. He's far smarter than me in many areas, but that is the dumbest take I've ever
heard. But to his credit, like to Missoula's credit, they've been, what, top five in defense for three straight years? Like that has to be part of what he's
doing. Who would you rather have as the head coach of the Celtics next season, Ime or Missoula?
Ime. I mean, that's not even close.
Thibodeau or Missoula? Carlisle or Missoula?
Carlisle.
Right, so I mean, you could rattle off several people you'd rather.
Yeah, but all those guys are unavailable. If those guys were available, Curtis, I think that's fair. But if you're canning Joe Missoula, you're just gonna
Thibodeau's available.
Yeah, I don't want Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Why would you want him? He took an inferior team and beat you.
Well, yeah. Cool. Like he his stupid comb over. I'm good with watching.
Hey, balding. You can't rip bald people.
I don't
take
have a comb
your hat
over.
Off.
I trust me. I am balding for sure, but I don't have a comb over.
That's true.
All right. Great guest leads. Thank you guys very much. You can watch this show today and every day on YouTube or on Twitch. And on Twitch, it is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers and their half off, half the store event ends tomorrow. So get up there to Portsmouth, New Hampshire and say big at Springer's Jewelers. We are going to get to Courtney and today's news coming up next.